So my wife has to operate it, so if I go click to her, you know what it's all about, huh? But I'm just glad we have a Sabbath. It's so neat to be able to be here. The title of this sermon is Our Awesome God Has a Master Plan for This World. And I remember 3:30 in the morning, all of a sudden the telephone began to ring. Since the phone is on my wife's side of the bed on purpose, she picked it up and sleepily answered it, and all of a sudden she jumped out of bed, ran down the hall yelling to me, "Get up! New York City's been attacked!" Well, of course, I jumped up and went, and for about the next 8 hours, we sat there and watched what took place in New York City on 9/11. In fact, I think almost all of America took and watched this. You know, as we were watching what was happening, first the one tower came down, then the second tower came down. Couldn't believe it. Of course, they showed the pictures of the airplane flying into the building and so forth. And I thought, I can't believe that this could happen. But as I was sitting there watching, a passage of Scripture came to mind, which we're going to be looking at today. And I began to think to myself, could we really be coming to the end of time? We just might be. For those of you who have been with us every week, what we've been doing is talking about our awesome God. Last week we talked about how God knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He's able to see in the dark, and we can bank on what He says. His Bible is full of predictions. And we looked at a few of those predictions, and every single one of those predictions, they're unconditional. When they've happened exactly like God said it was going to happen. Bible predictions, unconditional Bible prophecies, burns all bridges. And you can bank on them. And we talked a little bit about Daniel chapter 2. We ended up with Daniel 2. And we talked about how this started way back there before Jesus ever came, about 606 B.C. actually. And how it comes all the way down to our age. And then we talked in Daniel 2 about this rock that is cut without hands. And Daniel saw this, and then he goes on to describe what this rock is. And in Daniel chapter 2, in verse 44, he says this, "During the reign of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. No one will ever conquer it." Click. No one will ever conquer it. And actually what you see with this rock coming out without hands, you see a picture of Christ's second coming. And you remember we talked a little bit about how we're living in the toes of the enemy right now? We're right down on the feet. And the next great thing that has to take place is Jesus Christ is going to come back again. Now God has an awesome master plan for this world. I want to say this very clearly. He has a plan for this world, and He has a plan for every single one of us here in this room. Now, God's plan for this world is right on target. Folks, He knows when He's coming back again. We're going to look at some of these things. Now, He has a plan for us. By the way, His awesome master plan calls for Him to come back to this earth and to take this world over, take control of this world again. And we're going to look at that today. But He also has a plan for each one of us. And His plan for each one of us is to be a part of His awesome master plan for this world. But this is where there's a little difference. We have the power of choice. We can choose whether we want God's plan to be our plan or whether we want somebody else's plan to be our plan. We have the power of choice, but once we make that choice, we become slaves to that choice. Did you know that? We have that gift of choosing. And my prayer is that every one of us in this room will choose to go with Jesus. But in God's master plan, it calls for Him to come back to this earth. Now, let's look at some other texts that are in here. Here's Jesus talking. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." You know, we need to mark those words. Jesus said, "I'm going to come back again." and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's all the way through the Bible. There's over 250 prophecies on Jesus Christ's second coming. Let's go to the next one. Here in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, we find that the disciples, they were standing there, and all of a sudden they saw Jesus starting to go up, going back to heaven. Can you imagine? That must have been an awe-inspiring thought. They're standing there, and they just watch him go right up into the sky. And they got their eyes on Jesus, watching him as much as they could. And all of a sudden, they hear a voice. And it's an angel. And he says, "This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." He says, this Jesus that's going right now is coming back again. He's coming back again. Over in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. You know, Revelation starts, by the way, with the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back again. It ends with it. But notice, here's what it says. "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and what? Every eye will see him." So Jesus Christ is coming back. I don't know how many of you folks have ever read Revelation chapter 22, but let's just notice what it says right there. Three times it says in Revelation 22, verse 7, it says, "Look, I am coming soon. Blessed are those who obey the prophecy written in the scroll." Verse 12, "See, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me." And then verse 20, "Yes, I am coming soon." Jesus is coming back. His divine master plan is for this world to be, for him to come back to this world and do something fantastic here. Now, the question has to be asked is, when is Jesus coming back? Well, let's notice what Jesus had to say about it. This is Jesus talking. He says, "No one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows." This is found in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. "Only the Father knows." But, so we can't tell. And when somebody comes along and says, "Okay, I know that on October 1, 2004, whatever it is, Jesus is coming back," don't even listen to him. Because nobody knows the exact time except God knows. He has a timetable, but he's the only one that knows when he's coming back. But now, Jesus, the same Jesus over here in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 32 and 33 also tells us this. It says, "Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When it buds and becomes tender and its leaves begin to sprout, you know without being told that summer is nigh. Just so, when you see the events I've described beginning to happen, you can know his return is very near, right at the door." So he says, you won't know the day and the hour, but you can know that it's coming very soon. So you can look and see what's going on in this world, and know if you know your Bible, you can tell how close we are to Christ coming again. Now, I think this is very important, because when we finish up our sermon today, we are going to be looking at a passage of Scripture that just boggles my mind. And I dare say that I had read my Bible through many, many, many times. I didn't even put this Scripture together until I sat there and watched the Twin Towers. But we'll look at it in just a bit here. All right, now, the next question is, how is he coming back again? How is Jesus going to come back again? Well, there's a whole bunch of verses in the Bible that tells us how Jesus is coming. This is Matthew 25, verse 31. "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne." So he's coming back with what? In his glory and with all his angels. All the angels of the universe are coming back with Jesus. Did you know that? I'll tell you something. That's going to be a fantastic event, isn't it? And now there's a reason for these angels coming back. We'll talk about that in just a bit. Well, what happened to our picture, honey? You need Justin, huh? Well, the fact is that Jesus is coming back again, even if the computer doesn't work. So, let me get my pictures here and see what you got here, and she can work on that a little bit. But now, the Bible tells us that when Jesus comes again, it's going to be a loud something. It's not going to be just some secret thing. In fact, the Bible tells us it's going to be like lightning that comes from the east and flashes to the west. So shall the coming of the Son of Man also be. So, and the Bible also, and that's found in Matthew 24, verse 27. Then the Bible also tells us that there's going to be noises and thunderings and lightnings, and a great earthquake is going to take place at that period of time. Such a mighty great quake that every island fled away from the mountains and they were not found. So when Jesus comes back again, there is going to be lightnings and earthquakes. And I wanted to folks to know something. There is no such thing in the Bible as a secret rapture. You don't find it in the Bible. Now, rapture literally means being lifted up. And the Bible makes it clear that we're all going to be lifted up. But there is no such thing as a secret rapture. It's not there. But I don't know why a lot of people teach that anymore. But basically, the Bible doesn't hold up to that. All right, now, the question is, why is he coming back again? Well, let's take a look at some of the things that it says about why he is coming back again. Next picture. Notice what it says in Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And then, and notice it says, he will reward each according to his works. Now, Jesus is coming back for several reasons. We'll have him up here on the screen just a bit. But reason number one is because he's coming back to redeem and reward his people. Did you know that? He's coming back for his people. Now, notice what the next text says here. And this says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. There's going to be a gigantic resurrection. All of these angels that come back with Jesus are going to go to all of the cemeteries. And they're going to go to every one of the graves where somebody has died believing in Jesus Christ. And there's going to be this gigantic resurrection. You know, I know a little town called Empire, California. There's three people laid to rest there. My mother, my father, and my brother. And I have no doubt that there's going to be three angels that's going to come down to that little cemetery that's there. And there's going to be three fantastic resurrections. They died believing in Jesus Christ. And what an event that's going to be. Can you imagine that? But it doesn't just stop with them being resurrected. Notice what the next is. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. So all of those who are still alive at that period of time, they're going to be caught up in the air to be with Jesus. And so Christ is coming back for his people to rescue us. I guess you know that there will be a death decree put out for all those who are not Christian, who are not following along with this system, this false system. You know, Satan was going to do everything he can to take this world over. And he's going to make his one last desperate attempt just before Jesus Christ comes back again. Now, you want to go to the next one, honey? Now, here's another one. It says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. And they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So the Bible tells us also that when Jesus comes again, there is going to be this gigantic resurrection, and those that have done good are going to be resurrected to live forever, and those who have not done good, there's going to be a resurrection for them. But for the resurrection, they're going to be condemned to death forever. Now, let's go to the next slide here. I like this, don't you? Jesus is coming back. And notice what, I'm going to just go down through these quickly here. He's coming back to reclaim this earth for himself. You know, there's been a big battle over who this earth belongs to. You know, Christ claims this earth is his. Satan claims that it's his. And that's what the whole controversy is over. Who does this earth belong to? And that's why there's a battle going on for each one of us here today. Because Satan wants us on his side and Jesus wants us to follow him. And so Jesus is coming back to reclaim this earth for himself. He's coming back to save his people because the Bible makes it clear that at the very end of time, Satan is going to put this concerted push on to destroy all of God's people. And all you have to do is go to Revelation chapter 13 and read what's going to happen there. He's coming back to get rid of Satan, sin, and all his cohorts. Now, did you catch that? You know, Satan is not only going to go out of business, he is going to go out of existence. All you have to do is read Ezekiel chapter 28 and go on with verse 20 and read on down. It tells us that Satan is going to be out, he's not going to be anymore. So, and then last but not least, he's coming to restore this earth back to paradise. And he's going to make this earth over brand new. And you go to Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22, and you get a fantastic picture of what this new earth is going to be like. In fact, let's go to Revelation chapter 21 real quick, like, and let's take a look at what the Bible says about this new earth. I love these verses. Revelation chapter 21. Verses 1 to 4. I'm just going to read them. In fact, you want to read, you just want to take and you want to read this whole thing in Revelation 21 and 22. But notice this, as I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared and the sea was also gone. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a beautiful bride prepared for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, the home of God is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself shall be with them." And now notice verse 4. I love verse 4. "He will remove all their sorrows and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain, for the old world and its evils are gone forever." Did you know the Bible indicates that God is going to set up his kingdom upon this earth? This is going to be his home. This is going to be the center of his throne. This is going to be his Washington, D.C., this earth, for all the universe. In fact, it tells us there can not even be any reason for having a church there because God is there. Oh, this is such a story. The Bible tells us that every once a month we're going to gather together and we're going to eat from the tree of life. It tells us every week on the Sabbath, we're going to gather together and we're going to worship God. That is going to be fantastic, isn't it? This is God's ultimate plan for this earth. Now, let's go to the next slide. What will happen just before Jesus Christ comes back the second time? We're all wondering just exactly what is going to happen. Now, you hear all kinds of stuff. You know, I love to go to the grocery store. My wife's getting the groceries and I'm reading National Enquirer. And I'll say, "Hey, honey, did you know?" And she goes, "Oh, I don't even know the guy, you know." But National Enquirer has all kinds of stuff about what's going to happen in the future. Well, I want to tell you, you want to know what's going to happen in the future? You can bank on this book. You can bank on this book. Now, let's take a look and see what this book has to say. It's going to happen just for the end of time. We're going to try to simplify it so that you can get some. I want you to go to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. And we're going to start with verse 40. But let me tell you, while you're getting the verse, let me tell you a little bit about Daniel. In Daniel chapter 11, you find that there is a controversy between the king of the south and the king of the north. Now, when you get down to the bottom of it, it's always the same powers, but the looks of it changes as you go along. But notice what it says here in Daniel chapter 11, verse 40. Now, I think this is very, very, very important. And take your pencils out because you can do some marking of verses here. I'll just read it off the screen. It says, "At the time of the end, the king of the south will attack him, and the king of the north will storm out against him with chariots, cavalry, and a vast navy. He will invade various lands and sweep through them like a flood." Now, I don't know if you caught what that said, but take your pencils and mark the time of the end. Mark that phrase, the time of the end. Now, why is that so important? You notice in the Bible it talks about the end times. We're living in the end times. But when it uses the words, the time of the end, it's talking about the very end of the end times. Talking about the very end of the end times. Did you get that? Let's go to the next slide there, honey. Okay, got it. Good. Now it says, you know, so you want to mark that at the end of at the time of the end. Okay, let's go to the next one. Now the next phrase you want to mark is what is called the king of the south. Mark that phrase, the king of the south. Now who is the king of the south? Well, did you know the Revelation or Daniel tells us who the king of the south is? Notice what it says in verse 41. "He will enter the glorious land of Israel, and many nations will fall. Moab, Edom, and the best part of Ammon will escape. He will conquer many nations, and Egypt will not escape. He will gain control over the gold, silver, and treasures of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians will be his servants. Did you catch what it says there? Who's the king of the south? It is those Middle East countries. Egypt, Libya, Jordan, all of those countries. This, Iraq, these are the king of the south. What kind of countries are they right now? Mostly Muslim countries, aren't they? In fact, they're all Muslim countries. And it says at the time of the end, the king of the south, the Muslim countries, are going to attack the king of the north. Now, who's the king of the north? Well, the Bible doesn't really tell us who's the king of the north, but there's several ways you can tell. First of all, you just have to go straight north. What do you come to? You come to Europe. What is Europe? Mostly Christians. At least they claim to be Christians. And what are we basically a descendant of? Most of our descendants came from Europe. And we claim to be a Christian country. I personally believe that the king of the north is apostate Christianity. And you can tie this in with Revelation chapter 13 very easily. In fact, we'll look at it in just a little bit here. So, it says the king of the north is going to what? The king of the north will storm out against him with chariots, cavalry, and a vast navy. You know, I don't know, and I'm not here to make any predictions or anything, but I want to tell you, I'm watching what's going on. Because, you know, as you look and you see what happened is we were attacked. And what did we do? We stormed out against him. Desert Storm. You remember that? And all these. We attacked him. And what did we attack him with? Well, we had a vast navy, didn't we? We had our chariots, our tanks. We had our cavalry. We had it. And we stormed out there. And we, first of all, took Afghanistan. And now we have taken Iraq. But you know what's something very interesting? As you go on reading down through this, it says, he will conquer many countries and Egypt will not escape. It says Egypt is going to be